2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's from the New King James Version. The King James says, "Study to show thyself approved." Really, when you look down through it, that particular passage, the New King James probably has it translated a little bit more accurately with using the word diligent there. But the translators of the King James Version, they had the right idea that what Paul was telling Timothy there to be diligent in was his studying of God's Word. Despite the fact that Paul had laid his hands on Timothy and given him miraculous gifts, Paul encouraged him not only here but at other places to diligently study, to go back and go over God's Word again and again, to make sure that he knew God's will, and not only that for himself, but as a preacher, that he could deliver that to others. So many times throughout the Bible, we see exhortations to study God's Word, to learn what God would have us to know. The problem with that is, especially as we see in our culture today, and you can blame the school system or whatever you would like, but many people today aren't really taught how to study, or they just don't know how to study. Many times in our schools today, kids are taught to take certain tests, but they're not, and they're taught that information on the test, but they're not actually taught how to study as much. Well, this becomes a problem. I had a kid one time, and as I was a counselor in camp, that being a young Christian, he asked how to study, and so I sat down there. And I had a book with me that I wound up giving to him. It was a ready reference that went over it and had several topics that it covered, and just some verses to go to look at to cover those topics. And as we went through this, he still struggled in wanting to know how to study. He had sat down and he had studied with a preacher before, but he was concerned about his own personal study, and he wanted to get as much as he could out of his own personal Bible studies. This morning, or this afternoon, I'd like to look over how to study your Bibles. Now, this is definitely not going to be a comprehensive course that it would probably take at least a quarter and possibly more in going over this subject, but I want to look at hit a few points to help us to understand the importance of Bible study and personal Bible studies for ourselves. First off, when studying really anything, you have to develop a desire. You have to want to study that. If you don't want to, you're not going to. It's hard to force yourself to study. So, well, I'm going to read my Bible a little bit every night before you go to bed. What happens? The Bible becomes a great way to put yourself to sleep. You open it up, and a few verses later, your eyes are already heavy, and you don't know what you read, even though you might have read a whole chapter, and you just go to sleep, and you really don't get much out of it. There has to be a strong desire to really dig into God's Word. It's more than just reading, but reading and understanding, meditating on God's will for us. Psalms 119, starting in verse 10, it says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Here, the psalmist is obviously concerned about knowing God's will. He understands, if I know God's will for me, if I truly dig into God's Word, it will help me to understand right from wrong, what is sin and what is not, and it can help me to not sin against God. He finishes, "Lord, teach me your statutes." He has a strong desire to learn God's Word. Do we have that? Do we understand who God is? And I'm not talking about everything in depth Bible study, but do we understand that there is a God, and that God's will for us is for us to come to know Him? Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ speaking to those that were listening to Him about subjects like this, in verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened." everyone that has truly sought to know God has found him. The thing is that us? Do we truly seek to know God and continue to seek after him? The thing is, today we have an advantage over many other peoples throughout history. The tools that we have today are amazing, that we have so much information at our very fingertips. But are we willing to use that? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul, when he was exhorting the church in Corinth about their miraculous gifts, chapter 14, starting verse 1, he says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation to the comfort of men." Here he's talking in chapter 14 about the differences between prophecy and the speaking in tongues, and he goes and he breaks that down a little bit. He says, look, those of you that have spiritual gifts, you need to use those. Those are the tools that God has given you right now, those miraculous abilities. And really, chief among these is not the showy one speaking in tongues, but it's prophecy. And not necessarily foretelling the future, even though that has a little bit to do with it, but it was more forth-telling God's will. Because even when there was a future event that was told in these prophecies, it was still God's word. The prophesying that Paul here was talking about was really preaching. It was just the information that God miraculously gave to the preachers that they might prophesy, preach God's word. God wanted them to use whatever tools that they had at their disposal. We're told today, in the same as the first century church, Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." The thing is, we have now the complete revelation of God. It says that it was once delivered to the saints. All of it. All of God's word has been given it to us. This is so much greater than what Paul was talking to the Corinthians about and using their miraculous gifts. We have everything. We have the entire revelation of God right here at our fingertips. But not only that, here in book form, I can pull out my phone or my computer. Most of my studying is why I wind up doing it on my computer. And the thing is, I have several computer programs that I use. But when I changed from a PC to a Mac, I lost some of the ones that I did use. Now, what I use is mainly online. Several websites that I can go in and I can compare 20 different translations. I can go and I can look up the Hebrew and the Greek, the original languages, and have it broken down for me. And this is information that every one of us can use easily. We don't have to know. You don't have to know Greek. You don't have to be able to use that information. And it's right there, and it's free. If we have access to the internet, it's right there at our very fingertips. Not only that, the mode of dispersal of this information is much faster and is much broader than what we've had before in the past. We need to know and be able to use these tools. Most importantly, this. We need to know this. Whichever form it comes in, whether it's on paper or whether it's digital, if we have access to it, which we do, we need to consume as much of it as we possibly can. Again, Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." We are to discover, we are to learn. There is so much good information out there. Now, if it is uninspired information, that is everything outside of the Bible, there are many good references and that we can look at. There are many good commentaries, but we need to look at them and compare them to God's word. And if they go outside of God's word, or if they are against God's word, that we need to abstain. We need to understand what is there. We have access to more information, but that means that there's probably more information. There is more information out there that is dangerous to our salvation. We need to be able to understand what it is. really the main point of this lesson was how to study. Again, that there's not enough time to really get down into it and how to better our Bible study, but a few things, hopefully practical things, that we can do to help us when we are reading our Bible, and more than just going over and reading the words, but to truly trying to understand what they mean. When Paul tells Timothy that he needs to rightly divide the word of truth, that means that the rightly divide in the original Greek, it means literally to cut straight, to get this right. I need to make sure that I have got this cut right down the line. I don't want to leave anything out. I want to get this exactly right. First off, and I mention this every once in a while as we go through our Bible classes, when we first open up God's Word and we start reading it, we need to understand who the specific audience that is being written to. Now, all the information that we have in God's Word is for us, but we must understand certain commands that were given in the Bible don't apply directly to us. They are more history or for our learning than specific things that apply to us. For instance, God told Noah to build an ark. That is a command that is written in the Bible, but it doesn't apply directly to us. It's for us to learn from and the events surrounding that, but that command was only for Noah. Now we have the commands in the first century church, whether it's Acts 2:38, that we are, if we desire salvation, to repent and to be baptized, or partaking of the Lord's Supper, or singing, whatever the commands are that we are to do, we need to understand specifically who it was written to. It was written for the first century church, but if it was written as a command to the first century church, it does apply directly to us. Also, we need to notice the context in which the verse or the words in the verse were written in. First, the immediate context. Many people get themselves in trouble that they take a few words or a verse out of context, and we look at this and say, okay, well, what does this mean? And instead of looking right around, because many times you can find out, even if it's a difficult passage to understand, you look at the immediate context right around it, you can start to understand this a little bit better. Not just reading through it, but truly looking at it and trying to understand. A lot of times, whether it's just the few verses before and after that one, or maybe the whole chapter, reading the whole chapter, it will help us to understand the context that the author was writing in, to help us to understand the meaning. But not only that, not only do we need to understand and study the immediate context, but also the remote context. Yes, I can take a few passages and say, okay, I've got the immediate context and I understand this, but as we look at a particular passage, if we don't go out further than that we can take a little bit or one chapter of the Bible, take that out of the entire context of the Bible, and still mislead ourselves. We need to make sure that what we are reading and studying goes along with the rest of the flow of Scripture. If one passage over here in the New Testament directly contradicts one passage in the Old Testament as far as our understanding of it, we need to stop and step back and make sure that we understand the entirety of God's Word. He didn't necessarily put everything in chronological order with specific one command right after the other. We actually have to study through the entirety of God's Word. Also, as we do study, we need to make sure, because there is much figurative language in the Bible, that we don't take figurative things literally or literal things figuratively. In school, I was instructed, take all things literally unless the context demands otherwise. You look at it and you start reading through, it's interesting, especially when you turn to the book of Revelation. Many people want to take, and depending on what verse it is, and they'll take one verse literally, and the next verse they'll say, well, that's figurative. And the next verse after that, well, that one's literal. And they'll go on, and they make a patchwork quilt of books like the book of Revelation, not stepping back and seeing it for what it is, the apocryphal language that it was written in. If the context doesn't demand that it be taken figuratively, surely we should take it literally. But when you open up a book like that and some of the Old Testament prophecies, you see what is surely figurative language when it personifies certain things, whether it's the church or certain other organizations, that surely this is figurative language. And if I'm going to take the one verse literally and then the very verse right after it say, well, that's probably figurative, I need to stop and think about how I'm trying to interpret this. One of the main things we need to do in our Bible study is apply the law of rationality. The law of rationality is something very important. It's something that we probably in our everyday lives, well, I know we do every single day, that we use. We might not realize it. The law of rationality states this: we are to draw only such conclusions as are warranted by the evidence. Draw only such conclusions that are warranted by the evidence. If we don't have adequate evidence for the conclusion that we've drawn, we need to stop and make sure that conclusion we've drawn is not based on our own opinion or our own bias, whatever it might be, or just from someone else, some other source that we have obtained that. We need to make sure the evidence that we have is where we have gotten our conclusions from, or that the conclusions that we have drawn is based only on the evidence of the Bible, in the context in which we find it in. Lastly, one great resource that we have is one another. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel." There are many great Bible scholars out there, Bible class teachers, elders, preachers, older members of the church that have been studying their entire lives. If there is something that we don't understand, go to others, understanding that we are going to people that are uninspired, including myself, but realizing there is a lot of great wisdom out there that we can use if we will. I guess the main point of this is, no matter what, we do need to be studying our Bibles and studying diligently. However we go out about doing that, that's the most important thing. We need to develop the desire and do this daily. There's nothing more important that we can do with our time than studying God's Word. Hopefully this has helped us a little bit, encouraged us to do that very thing. I want to take this time to offer the invitation. If there's anyone here that is subject, we want to make this time available. If there's anything we can do for you, encouragement, prayers of the congregation, we encourage you, please come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.